Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be reading from there here in a few minutes. 2 Peter chapter 3. I suppose that it has become almost like a ritual when you take a small baby to the pediatrician, and I guess even after they're a little bit bigger than a small baby, one of the very first things they do is they weigh the baby. And they compare, of course, the weight at that time to what the baby's previous weight was. And I think we all understand the reason why they do that. If they are gaining weight, if they are growing, then that's a pretty good sign that their overall health is pretty good. If they're not growing, maybe they lose a pound or so or several ounces, and maybe that continues for several visits, then they're pretty alarmed by that. And they start looking a little bit deeper. You know, maybe there's some reason for that. And so we understand the importance of physical growth, certainly when it comes to those small children. Now, we're not talking today about physical growth. We're going to talk about spiritual growth. And we're going to ask really three questions concerning that, and of course try to answer each one of those from the Scriptures. The first question we want to consider is, how important is it to grow spiritually? I think you probably already know the answer to that question, but sometimes we forget. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of just how important it is. Well, I believe that God tells us in a variety of ways in the New Testament how important it is. Here's the first way He tells us. First of all, He commands us to grow. Here in 2 Peter 3, look at verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Now, notice He didn't say fall from a condition of weakness that you already had. He says fall from your steadfastness. Words, you may be doing well at some point. You may even be steadfast at some point, but you can fall. Being led away with the error of the wicked. Now that's the problem. That's the danger in verse 17. But here's the solution in verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. God says, grow. He says, that's what's going to keep you from falling. That's what's going to keep you from falling from your steadfastness. But there's another way that God illustrates the importance of spiritual growth. And that is that He sets forth perfection, or full maturity, as the goal for every Christian. The goal to which we should be constantly striving. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's begin there. This is taught in a number of passages. 1 Corinthians 14. And look at verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature. A baby really has no malice at all. And wouldn't it be nice if that could continue into our adulthood? We see plenty of malice in adults. And so when it comes to certain things, He says, it would be better if you were more like a baby. But He says in other ways, specifically when it comes to understanding, you don't need to be like a baby. You need to be a full-grown adult. When it comes to understanding, you need to be mature. And again, that doesn't happen overnight. That happens because we put forth effort into it. Also in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There's a long passage here. In fact, verses 11 through 16 in general describes this growth. But let's focus in on a few of these verses. Look at verses 13 and 14. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, as we talked about last week, the reality is that there's a gap between all of us now and the fullness of the measure of Christ. And we talked about how to cope with that gap in last Sunday morning's lesson. But the fact remains is that's the goal that God holds out before us. He says, I want you to be ever striving toward the fullness of Jesus Christ, to become like Him in every facet of your life. So if God sets forth that as the goal, then that's what we all ought to be working toward. Just a few other on that point. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, kind of interesting here because it explains one of Paul's aims in preaching the gospel. Colossians 1 and verse 28, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So over and over again, this is set forth as our goal. One final passage on that point. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Notice what this brother in Christ named Epaphras was praying. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so, again, in these passages and in many more that we could cite, perfection, full maturity, that's the goal that God puts before us. And so, just another way to tell us how important it is to keep on growing spiritually. There's yet another way that God shows us the importance. And that is that He flat out rebukes those who do not grow spiritually. Let's look at a couple of passages on that point. 1 Corinthians 3. And boy, did this church here have a number of problems. He didn't shy away from pointing out those problems and talking to them about what they need to do about it. But in 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 1, And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. Well, what evidence did he have for that? For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Or when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? See, these are the kind of problems that go away when we all grow and mature like we ought to. Also in Hebrews chapter 5, very similar rebuke. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 12. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Unfortunately, it may be that with some of us, we continue for a long time making questionable decision after questionable decision. And some of those decisions may even involve plain just wrongdoing, sin. It's sad when that happens to any one of us, but again, what's the antidote for that? What is it that keeps us from making those bad decisions? What is it that enables us to be able to discern between good and evil? Continued growth. We cannot remain babies. We got to just keep on progressing. In fact, look at verse 1 in the next chapter. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary of principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We've got to continue to mature so that these things are not a problem. There's another way that God shows us the importance of spiritual growth. Well, we just got through talking about how He rebukes those who were not growing spiritually. But on the flip side, He commends those who are. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. The love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Some strong words used in that passage, right? Exceedingly. And abounds. So, bottom line, we don't want it to be said of us what was said of the Corinthians and of those folks there in Hebrews chapter 5. This is what we want the Lord to say of us. That our faith is growing exceedingly, and that our love is abounding. That's what pleases the Lord. And then yet another way God shows the importance of this. He tells us the destiny, the final destiny, for those who grow and for those who do not. And I don't know any other more serious way than he could possibly put it than that. How about for those who grow? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, how about for those who don't? Well, I think that's pretty well illustrated in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 6. Listen carefully to this parable and see if it does not illustrate the point. In verse 6, He also, that is Jesus, spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down." So the Lord comes seeking fruit in each one of us, right? Hopefully we're not just using up the ground. I think it can be said of everybody here that you've not only been planted in the truth, but there's also been a lot of fertilizer added as well. And so many opportunities have been given to us all to grow. And we need to take full advantage of those. We need to grow. We need to bear fruit. Because if we don't, then ultimately, the Lord's going to have to cut that tree down. And that's the last thing that we want. I appreciate very much the prayers of all of our brethren here that I hear being publicly offered to God. But I want to single out something that I've heard Chase pray just about every time that he has led in prayer. It's a very simple request. He said, "Lord, help us not to be lazy." And I like that. Help us not to be lazy. Laziness is spoken of in just the worst kind of terms, isn't it, throughout Scripture. We need to be diligent. We just read that there in 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to get after it in terms of our spiritual growth. Really, as we kind of look over all these points we've just made about the importance of spiritual growth, perhaps a point that we can make that would sort of underlie all of this is that really, we're either growing or we're dying. We're either growing or we're dying. I don't know that there's really much neutral ground there. In other words, if we're not striving to grow, we're going to really wind up going backwards. And the world will just kind of chip away and chip away until finally it has overtaken us. One of the lines that I appreciated in the inaugural address on Friday, the president said, this nation is only living when it is striving. And I knew what I was going to preach about come Sunday, and when I heard those words, I thought that would fit perfectly. A Christian is only living when he or she is striving. And of course, again, the alternative to that is we are dying when we are not striving. All right, so here's the second question for us to consider. What can we do to help us grow? We've seen in a number of different ways just how extremely important it is. So what can we do to help us grow? And again, I don't believe any of these answers are going to surprise you in the least. But first of all, we need to study. We need to study the Word of God. And do so diligently. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's begin there. 1 Peter 2. Beginning with verse 1. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Do you think much about what the term disciple of Christ means? Now, I'm talking about just the full definition of a disciple. I think there are several facets to that term, but I think we typically think of, well, it's a follower. You're a disciple of someone, you follow them. But what do you follow? You just physically follow them? You just trail in behind them? Okay, wherever you go,
You follow what? You follow their tenets. You follow their teaching, right? One of the fundamental definitions of a disciple is a learner. A learner, a student. That's really what the term disciple implies. And I don't think we're grasping for straws there, because remember Jesus' invitation there in Matthew 11, those last three verses. Come to me and learn. Come to me and learn of me. Follow my teachings. Listen to everything. If I'm a disciple, if I'm a devotee of Jesus Christ, then I want to know what Jesus Christ has said. And I want to follow that just as carefully as I possibly can. This is the key to growth. Remember the passage we started out with where he warned about falling from your own steadfastness? What was the solution? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here's something else we need to do, and it's very closely related to the point we just made. We need to let Christ live in us. Well, how does that happen? Well, the more we study, as we ought to, the more we learn about Him, the more we go through the New Testament, which reveals the character of Jesus Christ, the more we find those things out and apply those things, guess what? The more we become like Him. This is not some mysterious process. We don't just say, please, Christ, come into my life. Boom, it happens. He comes into our lives as we study, as we learn of Him, and apply what we learn of Him. That's how Christ lives in us. John chapter 15 talks about the importance of abiding in Him and letting His words abide in us. That's really the key to growth, to bearing fruit. And I think this passage will certainly say it a whole lot better than I ever could. John 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Sounds a lot like Luke 13, right? And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He can work with that, right? He can work with somebody who's striving and growing. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now let's really zero in now on verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So His Word abiding in us really is the key, isn't it, to all of this. And then, of course, there's the well-known passage in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We marvel, do we not, at the life of Christ? Rightly so. We talk about His teaching, and we talk about how He handled this situation and that situation. We look at the love and compassion that He showed, but we also look at how fiercely he stood for truth, and we admire and appreciate all of those things. We say, oh, I just wish so much I could be like that. And you know what? We can be a whole lot more like that than we are now. But we got to be diligent. And his words, and not just a few of them, his words must abide in us in order for him to live in us. But then we also can't forget the importance of praying diligently every day for spiritual growth. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's notice the prayer of Paul for these brethren here. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I'm not at all suggesting that you've got to take the words here in verses 9 through 12 and say them back to God exactly as they are here. But you may be thinking, okay, I want to pray for spiritual growth, and I don't know exactly how to go about it. Well, here is a good model, example to follow. There are some words in here that we can use for ourselves, right? We want to be filled with the knowledge of His will. We want to walk worthy. We want to bear that fruit. We want to have that patience and that long suffering that He speaks of. These are things we need to specifically pray for. But here's something else we need to do to help us grow. We need to spend time with other Christians. We need to spend time with other Christians. And really, in two different settings. First of all, we need to make sure that we spend time with other Christians in the assembly as we come together to worship God. Hebrews 10 certainly is one passage that addresses that. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We don't need to forsake, neglect these assemblies. The pull of the world is strong. And really, the more infrequent our attendance becomes, potentially the stronger that pull is from the world. We need to be here really every time these doors are opened, unless we are hindered in some way beyond what we can help. These are opportunities for us to get stronger as we worship God together, and just from the mutual encouragement that we receive. But we also need to spend time with other Christians outside the assembly. That helps a whole lot too, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 3. Let's back up a little bit in this same book. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We really don't meet all that often, do we? 4 hours a week. It's not a big portion of the week, is it, really, when you think about it? sure would be nice if we could spend some time elsewhere, right? And offer the kind of encouragement, really, that you can only receive from brethren. Well, aren't you struck by some of those scenes in the book of Acts when Paul was gathered together with his brethren? Sometimes it was, you know, where he had just come from a long journey, and sometimes it was when he was about to depart from them. But don't you see the closeness, the harmony, the love, the encouragement that they gave to one another? And again, that's really the model that we need to follow.
You know, I think we've talked about this in previous lessons before, but I have known a number of Christians, and I would be included in that group, who turned their lives around, who were really, really struggling. But in the case of the people that I have in mind, including myself, really what turned their lives around is they made a commitment to start spending time with more Christians. Most of their friends were those of the world, and they didn't always want to admit it at the time, but they could certainly see it much later that they were floundering. They were floundering. When they decided, okay, you know, the kind of folks you're around tend to rub off on you a little bit, I need to be around some better folks. And there are many people who would testify to the fact that it's when they made that decision that they really started to take off. It was a big thing. And so the importance of this obviously is seen in the Scriptures, but it's also illustrated in the lives of so many. All right, we've got one final question. We've talked about how important is spiritual growth. We've asked the question, what can we do to help us grow? One other question. What can keep us from growing as we should? Well, I think we first of all have to say a failure to do the things we just talked about. A failure to study. A failure to therefore let Christ live in us. A failure to pray. A failure to spend time with other Christians. But there are a couple of other things we need to consider. Why am I not growing like I should? Well, it may be that I just never, ever did what Jesus told me to do. And I'm talking about one thing in particular. It may be that I have never really made much of an effort to put myself to death. I don't know if Jesus could have made it any clearer as to how important that is. And it may be that I just never have really consciously made the effort to do that. John chapter 12. This is illustrated in a number of passages, but look in John 12. Verses 24 through 26. I think you'll see how the figure that he uses fits very well. Most assuredly I say to you, John 12:24. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And those of you who have done just a little bit of farming, you understand the point, right? He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We've talked a lot about bearing fruit in this lesson, right? What does this passage teach us that must happen before we can bear fruit? We have got to die. We've got to put self to death. But then another problem, and not that this is entirely separate from the other one. It may be that we're just too much in love with the things of this world. It has destroyed many a Christian, and it can destroy me, and it can destroy you. You remember the parable of the sower, one of the most well-known parables that Jesus taught. You remember the seed that fell on the different soils. Do you remember how Jesus explained the seed on the thorny ground? Well, let's look in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And here's his explanation of the seed that fell on the thorny ground, with all the weeds and stuff that could choke it out. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I think about the very sobering words there in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, when he commands us to not love the world. What does he say about someone who loves the world? If anyone loves the world, what's the rest of it? The love of the Father is not in him. Sometimes it's a simple matter of this. We are paying so much attention to the things of the world that it gives us very little time to pay attention to the things that matter most. It really comes down to that many times. Some of these things may not be sinful in and of themselves. It's just that they've become such a priority. We're spending so much time with them that we have very little time to be involved in these other things that we've been talking about throughout the lesson. I'll close the lesson with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what was his promise? For they shall be filled. And that's really what the lesson comes down to, is the need for us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what spiritual growth really is all about. Go ahead and get out your song book. We'll sing that lesson in, song in just a minute. Talking about the pull of the world a few minutes ago in the lesson. I think that's pretty well illustrated by the experience of the Israelites. I want you to think about something now. They couldn't wait to get out of Egypt, right? Couldn't wait. The oppression they were under, they had been made slaves. They could not wait to get out of Egypt. Cried to God for help. Now what happened not too long after they got out of Egypt? They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back. Well, here's the thing. Please understand your condition apart from Christ. And then please understand, once you have entered into Christ, once you have obeyed the gospel, how much better things are in Christ. And don't ever have any desire to go back. Don't ever have any desire to go back. We want to encourage those of you who have not yet obeyed the gospel to do exactly that this morning. You'll be in the right place. You'll be in the place where you will receive the richest blessings of all. But please, from that point, keep on growing. Keep on experiencing blessings like there are no other place. If you have entered into Christ and that pull has become too strong, you need to acknowledge some wrongdoing. We certainly want to give you that opportunity as well. But if we can help you in any way, please let it be known as we stand and sing.